Hail and welcome, it's the Magic Apothecary, Mary Elizabeth Macari, the White Witch, here to give you guys a little talking about Yule this time and other things as well that come up in the witchy world of me. So you're listening to a really cool thing, I have to turn it down, make sure that it's not too loud for your ears, called Yule writing music for the 12 days of Christmas. Now, obviously, we are not I'm not celebrating Christian holiday, but many are, and a lot of this music is old and old English, and a lot of what we celebrate in our religion and work that is a Northern European descent. So here I am in Brooklyn, New York, on this day. I'm in the beginning of December, and I'm talking to you from my home here in Brooklyn, New York, and here to talk about this Sabbat, plus other things, as I always say. I hope you are well. If you need to find me, I always put my information before and after the podcast. My name is Mary Elizabeth Macari, M-I-C-A-R-I. I am the White Witch. I also do have a store of sorts where I make spells for people from scratch and teach people how to use magic, and I am also a teacher of the witchy arts. And so you can reach me at the magical M-A-G-I-C-A-L apothecary A-P-O-T-H-E-C-A-R-Y at gmail.com if you're interested, or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or on Instagram under the Magic Apothecary headline and the White Witch. You can also find my website under the Magic Apothecary, the-magic-apothecary.com. So you can find me all kinds of places if you need me. If it's witchy stuff, just feel free to reach out. I'm very happy to do the goddess's work, and that to me is teaching for free. Yay! So here I am again on my podcast. So we're going to talk about Yule, or the winter solstice. Some people call it the winter solstice. Some people call it Yule. So it depends on where you're from and what you see, what you think of it. It is the winter solstice. That is the major reason for the season, right? We have the return of the sun. I found a really wonderful video, which I like to spread at this time, about the myths of the sun gods and talking about how and why Christmas is when it is. And briefly, it's because of the sun. This time of the year, we are in very much darkness, as everyone has noticed, in the Northern Hemisphere, and the Southern Hemisphere is actually the opposite thing going on. They're getting ready to have their summer solstice down there. We are up here in the north experiencing close to our winter solstice. So what's happening is the earth in the north is tipping away from the sun. The earth in the south is tipping, south of the equator, is tipping towards the sun. Because it's tipping away from the sun up in the north, we have shorter and shorter days, which means we get the sun much less time. And there are some places, as in Scandinavia, or even more north than there, where they have hardly any light at all during the days. So, and sometimes in the summer, they have constant light. So it's a very interesting phenomenon, just because we're on a planet that does not only go around the sun, but also goes back and forth, somewhat like a top spinning. So that's what causes it, the planet moving that way, and our distance from the sun, and that causes things to shut down and start to die around Samhain time, which is what we call Halloween, and then come back again right after really the Ostara time, when it is close to what people call Easter in the spring. So here we are in the dark time. So we're still in a place and time where people like to think the veil being thin only around Samhain and the All Souls night and days of darkness around that time. But it goes further than that. It's actually seasonal. People seem to think that Sabbats are just a day, but they aren't. They are actually a season. So the season of Samhain goes from the night before Halloween or Samhain, and it goes until the night before Yule, and then we have a rebirth of light. And there's lots of beautiful information out there regarding what that's like, and there have been songs and poetry and festivities and things written from the beginning of time, really, because our ancestors barely survived this time on their stores of what they could hide away and keep. Remember, no refrigeration, no electricity. If you lived in a place that was not totally frozen over, your stuff wouldn't stay. You had no greens now for weeks and weeks already at this point. So hopefully you had stores of grain you could use. You've been living on bread. Perhaps you'd be making it if you could, or you were had a way to dry your food in the sun in the summer, and you were surviving on that. And people got sick at this time, and it was a very difficult thing. We have these ideas in our head that it was because it was so cold, but sure, it was definitely cold. It is definitely cold. Today it was 25 degrees in New York, but it's not only that, it's that it was dark, and when there were no lights, there was no street lamp or internal light in the house, or you know, a flashlight, or you know, or maybe were torches if you had fire. And fire, particularly at this time of the year, was a sacred source of life and tended to very strongly and very importantly. And the return of the sun, the celebration of the return of the sun on the solstice, December 21st this year, 2019, was an extremely happy day. And where people were celebrating that they got through this time period, and they would actually feast on what was left that might go bad between that time and the beginning of March, when we start to see in the Northern Hemisphere some growth, some sprouts and some plants that come up early that we could actually ingest, and also milk from animals and that sort of thing would be starting to happen around Imolc, which is about February 1st. So until February 1st, at least that time when there was milk sometimes to be had from other mammals, there was nothing. So very interesting, very frightening, right? And of course our ancestors survived because we are here. So they figured out how to do it, and this is how they did it. So the winter solstice, Yule, what does that mean? What is that? And why was I talking before about the myths of the sun gods? Well, if you look up in YouTube, the myths of the sun gods, it's a two-part video. I might try to link it here so you can see it on Podbean at least. Let me look for it here while I'm talking. It's on YouTube, and try to find out the website, the address, so I can read it out loud at least, so you guys can watch it if you're interested. So what happened? Sun god, there we go. Let's see if I find it. Don't have it up right away. So anyway, I'll go on and I'll find it later. There's lots of gods that were considered sun gods. You had Mithras. So this was a god of the Romans. You also had Ra, who was a sun god, and Osiris, who was a sun god. We had, who else to think off the top of my head? I mean, millions of them. Dionysus was a sun god. These were all just rising and dying gods, and Jesus was one of them, and he was put in place in the same place all of them inhabited, which was this powerful deity in the sky that gave us light. Here it is. It's called Sun Gods, History of Religion, Part 1, 2, and 3. So you can look that, just type in Sun Gods, History of Religion, and you will get three really interesting videos. And around that, you will also see other things. There's something called God's Son. Is Jesus just a copy of the pagan gods? Mithras, the god of Sumerians, Helios, the solar god of Greek mythology, Osiris, Ra, on and on. So take a look at that and see if you enjoy it. And if you do, share with people who are curious, and also with people who might not know about these things, that a lot of the things we're celebrating at this time of the year do come from our pagan ancestors, which we all had. One thing I like to talk about in this podcast is the reconnection of the Northern, or just the European, not even just Northern, but European peoples to their gods and goddesses and their ancient traditions. I have been following as much as I can, and to the best of my ability, my own Irish Celtic background and there and that ancestry, as well as my Greek and Italian ancestry. So I've been exploring how to remember these gods and goddesses and bring them back into my life in full form if I can, because in history we see that these gods and goddesses were destroyed or hidden or considered demons or devils. And we were taught many centuries, we have been taught that this is not proper and it is dangerous to think about anything besides God the Father and Jesus his son. So this is our ancestry. It's very interesting to me that for so many centuries, this was the way that people thought, and this is the stuff that they revered. They revered the sun and the earth itself and the water and fire and all of the natural forces, including the beasts that live with us on this planet and our own immortality and spirit self. All of this stuff is celebrated in Native American paganism. Or Native American religion. I wouldn't even want to call it paganism because it is their religion. Pagan just means someone from the country, meaning that when the Romans were Christianizing all of Europe, the people in the country didn't hear the call as soon as the people in the cities did. So they used to call them pagan, followers of the old ways. And I do call myself that, and many people do call themselves pagans just because it became known as the followers of the old ways. But as Native Americans are, when the Europeans came here, they did call them pagans or heathens, but they're not. It's their original religion that they're following, and different for each area of North America, South America, and each tribe has a different deity or a pantheon group that they work with, or different kinds of energies. The same thing can be said for Asia. They have many ancient gods and goddesses, as well as in India and other places throughout Russia, into Iceland, into the north of Scandinavia. There are places and pockets in Ireland and in England as well, where these old traditional things are held sacred and maybe not considered the religion all the time, but something that they keep as a cultural reference to who they were before. So that's what this is about. So on this day, on the solstice coming up on the 21st, this year I checked, it's the 21st, we wait until the sun dips below the horizon and it's dark, and we wait. And our ancestors waited, and they believed that if they waited for the sunrise, that they would help the god rise again and be in the sky and bring back light. And if you notice, if you have access to a farmer's almanac or any kind of software where you can see sunrise times in your area, you will see that at around this time, the sun sort of stays the same for several days. So it's about 3 days that the sun stays setting at the same time. Say, for example, it's, I don't know when it is, but say it's 4:19 p.m. So it would stay at 4:19 p.m. for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, it would rise and it would be late earlier. It would be 4:20. So it would be another minute. And over the weeks, you will start to see, if you look at that, the sun starting to rise about a minute a day more until we get into the spring and summer, when it's almost a full day, you know, a full 12 hours or more of full light by June, or the next solstice, when that is the longest day of the year. So that is why Christmas takes place at this time. And that's what the celebration of the rising God, the birth of Christ, the birth of the sun god, the birth of all of these deities was celebrated around this same time of the year because of this change of the sun and it's holding still and then rising again. So take a look at that video. I'm doing a really fast version of what's in that, and it's really very cool and very interesting. And I do put it up often on my apothecary websites and on my Magic Apothecary Facebook. And if you are on Facebook, you can seek me out there and just join my group. And get onto my page, and I put up tons of things, and you can message me there too. If you have questions or you want to find out more, I can always send you more, because I have all kinds of oodles of information to draw from here saved up in my computer. So, Yule. What is Yule? That's an interesting thing. People have heard of the Yule log. The Yule log is, we know, something you burn in your fireplace. Or sometimes people decorate one up really pretty. They find a log and they put flowers on it to represent the sun, represent fire, represent beauty. So usually it's pronounced Yule. It's like Y-O-O-L. So again, it's about rebirth, like we said before, and starting over. It's also another word for it is called Alban Athron or Saturnalia. That's another one. That's a Roman version of it. So Yule is a Sabbath that begins the Wiccan year, but really we had New Year on Samhain, right? So, but this is the first Sabbath of the year, and it's the solstice. Again, the shortest day and the longest night in the Northern Hemisphere. The exact moment of the solstice is different from year to year. Okay, so you can look that up. There's lots of ephemeris and different kinds of charts you can find on the internet. I can look for that and maybe put that in the description here on Podbean, and you can see that, or you can just Google search it for yourself. So it's a little, we're talking about a confusion, because really, remember that there were, if you look at the names of the Greco-Roman calendar, we have things like Marzo, Aprile, Juno, which is a goddess, Julio, Augustus, right? Those are Caesars. Used to be they were just like names of months, meaning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they added in names of rulers to change that up. And so our calendar now does not really sync up to the natural calendar of the earth. So Diciembre would have been is dieci, Diciembre in Latin, or dieci would mean 10. This should have been the 10th month, but they added 2 months in the summer to cover the Caesars. So we have 12. So that's how that went. Is also, our calendar does not make sense because we used to have a lunar calendar, and a lunar calendar has 13 months because there are 13 moons in one, what we call calendar year, or from Yule to Yule. Okay, well, I hope that's not confusing anybody, but if it is, we can figure it out. Just ask questions. It's also a festival feast. This is a time when people are feasting and remembering that they are alive and giving gifts to each other of food. That was the original gift giving. It wasn't going on a Black Friday mission to buy as many things as you can carry. It really was just giving your neighbor or your child or your husband some food. And I remember my mother, who was born in 1937, told me that she remembered only getting like oranges for Christmas. And my father said the same. They would get socks that their mother made and oranges. So it was not the thing it's become. And a lot of this stuff, a lot of this consumerism that's wrapped around the Christmas holiday time has a lot to do with just stores and brands like, you know, Coca-Cola trying to make money. You know, the original Santa Claus drawings look nothing like what we think he looks like today. That was actually Coca-Cola's advertisement. You can look that up and see the first, you know, cherry-nosed, chubby Santa character wearing a red hat, drinking a Coca-Cola. And that became how many generations from that point on in the 1940s or late 30s saw Santa. So there's that. It's a actual Yule is a Viking word or a Scandinavian word, okay, and it's their holiday, which really, it's their holiday somewhat. It was also very Northern European, as you can imagine. So as I said before, it's extremely dark. The more north you go, the darker it is. So of course, the people who lived north in Scandinavia, say the Vikings, and their ancestors were living in total darkness at this time of the year. So they knew, having lived in this land for centuries, that they were going to see the sun again. And they would be the ones celebrating, and actually the traditions that we still carry, this Christmas tree, the lights, the candles, the Yule log itself, the kinds of foods that are eaten, a lot of those things are Scandinavian and not British or any other type of European. They did come on down through these different areas over time. And many of the people who came to America, United States, who carried these traditions, both Germans and Scandinavians, brought these traditions with them, and they sort of caught on here. So that's pretty interesting. So that's what where it comes from. So traditions, let's talk about traditions. What do people generally do? Okay, we know that people gather. That's Christmas, that's Yule, that's winter solstice. Pagans, witches also do this if they are so inclined. They meet and they have sometimes a ritual or a feast. I like to feast on Sabbaths. I don't do rituals on Sabbaths. I save my rituals for my moons, but other people do rituals, and it is more than acceptable to do that if you like. You could do a blessing ritual, you could do a new beginnings ritual, you could do a shining the light on new paths, and that makes kind of sense at this time of the year too, because we have been sort of winding down, have gone through, you know, our Thanksgiving in America and other places have, you know, we've had our harvests, it's getting darker, it's getting colder, projects start ending, kids start start having time off from school soon, and it feels like it's time for a New Year's resolution and to begin again. To go, we have a little time of feasting and rest at this time of the year, in most places, in especially in Europe and in America as well. So it's the promise that winter is over, because we know that once the sun rises on that morning, we know that it will keep coming back. If you've noticed, I said before that your minute at a time, sunrise and sunset spreads the day bigger and bigger. So many people all over the world get together to eat and share food. You will see traditional foods at this time, such as nuts, potatoes, right? Apples, squash, smoked meats, and highly spiced breads and cakes, and alcoholic beverages. These were the things that were in the stores, right? If you had gathered, whatever you gathered, your potatoes were still okay. Your apples were still okay. Squashes, as we know, can last a long time. And there was a reason why people smoked meat. It was a great way to preserve it. And if you spice bread, it lasts longer. It doesn't get moldy. Okay, so that's why you have very highly spiced breads and fruit cakes and things with, you know, dried fruits in them, because this is what our ancestors were doing to prepare for this time. And the reason they would, like I said before, would feast a little bit on these were things they were saving for this point. If they could get to this point, they might eat a little of the things they had saved away and then save the rest for the rest of the cold time. People, as I said, gave gifts and still do. You can do that as a pagan / Wiccan / whatever. Heathen / whatever you call yourself. Gifts are totally appropriate for this time of the year. So if you have a gathering, you can put up your Yule tree or you make a beautiful Yule log and drink wassail, or which is just a very beautiful spiced wine if you want it. There's millions of recipes for that, easy to make. Or you can make honeyed mead or use mead or make punch and then drink that and share that with your friends. People drink beer, people drink wine. They open up eggnog, they use rum, they start to celebrate and feel comfortable and relax and unwind using drinks that are both healthy or alcoholic. And people also will begin to feast and eat. And that's why there are now, we've gone to gluttonous areas where people eat until they fall over sometimes. And that every office party has celebrations, and everywhere you go, there's chocolates and cookies and cakes. It's a little overdone, but people want to be generous with what they can afford to give. And in the old days, remember, if you could afford to give a lot, that meant that you had a lot. So it still sort of lays around in our society. It's a good time if you're going to do magic, for any magic that has to do with the sun, anything that has to do with renewal, or you could ask for world peace or the beginning of a new family relationship, or perhaps it's a perfect time to instigate or start preparation for a marriage or children, beginning of new things, divine child born on this day in many cultures. Good day to start thinking about that. Or if you have a baby, it's a good day to have one. So a lot of people, like I say, stay up all night and wait. I have done this every year since I became Wiccan / pagan / witch. I don't know what to call it. I'll say pagan. Ever since that time, I have stayed up all night. I have watched certain movies. I eat certain foods. I wait for the sun. I'm the only one that can do it because it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And as you can tell, I am wide awake. I'm very much a night owl. So I am fine to stay up till 7:30 or sometimes 8:30, around that time when the sun comes up. And I've had some excruciatingly beautiful experiences. Two in particular, I can remember very, very, very strongly. One, I lived on the third floor of a building that had a roof, a very good roof, actually. And my husband and I went up to see the sunrise. But as we were watching the sunrise, behind us, the moon was setting. It was a full moon that time. It was amazing. We were right there between the moon and the sun. And at the moment of solstice, they were both in the sky, the god and the goddess surrounding us with their light. And it was just the most amazing feeling. Another time I spent the evening with a friend of mine, the entire night actually with my friend. We ate grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup and watched two or three different movies and then sang to each other. And she dozed off for a little while, but I stayed up eating cookies. And at 8 o'clock, we went to a park. It had just snowed. It snowed pretty a lot. And we got into the park and we thought the snow we found facing east was up to our knees. And it was cold and wet. and very cold. And we stood and we waited and we screamed and yelled and hollered and jumped around and chanted when the sun rose. And all the joggers and the people with their babies in their carriages going off to work, though we were out of our minds, but we were in ecstasy. It was just amazing to stand there at that moment in the cold, in the dark, as my ancestors and yours did, and just call it in with all the normal, modern, daily things going on around us. So I remember those, but I remember others. I can't always now get to see the sunrise. I don't live in a building that I can access the roof, and I can't really get to the sun by myself. It's far to get to where I live. It's a lot of water. It's very cold, and it would be hard for me to go. Although, now that I say it, I may just give it a shot. And just stand by the water and watch it come up. That's a beautiful sight too, to stand and face east and watch the sun rise over the water if you can handle the cold. So anyway, that's what I generally do. And I sometimes have friends over for the next day. We make a large feast and we eat and we talk about our plans for the next year and we give little gifts to each other. Or sometimes I don't do that. And I just spend a nice quiet evening with my family, going out to dinner and having a lovely time just talking and celebrating the next year coming and our relationships. So that's all good. You know, I can and I do light candles to light the way for a new year. I do light candles for the sun itself. I do change my altar. I make everything gold. And if I can afford it, I buy beautiful gold, new gold, shiny tablecloths and decorations and put up my beautiful wreaths and call in the sun. And that's my usual Yule. But if you want, you can do anything you want. You can also make it just Christmas / Yule, and have your friends and family there for both. You can just not say a word if you're still not sure you want anybody to know you're on this path and just celebrate Christmas. I did that for many years and never said a word to anyone. Just kept it in my mind that everything on that tree was the same as I believed it would be. Because if you look at a Christmas tree, most of the times they're green, not always, but most of the times they're green. And many times people put a lot of red on that tree. The red represents the goddess and her womb and the blood of the goddess. And the green represents the growing god, the evergreen, the ever god, the god that never really dies, even though he seems to, he is always reborn. That's what an evergreen represents. And also, you'll see many, many people put up silver and gold things. Silver is the goddess's color, and gold is the god's. So that's a great thing. Everywhere you go, you will see stars. You will see 5-pointed stars, which of course are pentagrams. And you will also see 8-pointed stars, the elven stars. The star in the light of in the sky of Bethlehem is an 8-pointed star many times. So it's the light of the sun, not the star that the wise men saw, but actually the sun itself, okay? The sun star, Ra, the eye in the sky, Ra, the god. So anywhere you are in this season, you're going to see the pagan roots of this. I have a list here. Like there is I'm looking at a thing with like 20 or 30 lists. Things where people are celebrating all over the world, from Latvia to Germany, the Hopi of North America celebrating, the Kurds celebrate something in midwinter, Druids, of course, Irish Celtic midwinter festival is Mian Gemrith. Mummers Day is celebrated in the Cornish areas. There's lists and lists and lists and lists. Also, the Feast of Lucia is celebrated in Scandinavia, so St. Lucy. Beautiful. So anywhere you go, there's going to be this joy. And when I was first pagan, I sort of felt a little odd and a little left out, because I so strongly knew that I was on a different path than most of the people that I knew. And I started to see this this consumerism and this not seeing the reason for why we were celebrating. So many people just doing lists of I have to get this and I must do that and we need to eat that and that's a tradition. We weren't really celebrating, and I didn't find it. Of course, I wouldn't have left the Catholic Church had I found it there. I didn't. It was, to me, too dry, too staid, too not ecstatic enough. I mean, imagine, if I'm standing in that snow I described, or our ancestors were so many thousands and thousands of years ago, and what if the sun didn't come up? Ooh. So they sat with that fear, because of course they didn't realize what was happening. They used to call them, they were geocentric, meaning many people for many centuries believed that the Earth was the center of everything, and that all the planets, including the Sun, which they considered a planet, would circle around them. So what if it didn't come? That would be sure death. So it was a bit of a frightening day, and a bit of a more than jubilant day when it came back. So that's Yule. What we can do. All right. So I've listed a whole bunch of things you could drink. Of course, eating is easy. I mean, just eat what people eat. Traditional pagan idea foods. They eat, of course, meats. Our ancestors supposedly would slaughter whatever animals, if they were farmers, that they had that weren't going to make it through the winter. And those, I said before, those meats were salted and smoked. But that doesn't have to be what you eat. I don't eat meat. So there's also people who eat cheese, and those things would have been ready. If you had milk coming through the spring into the summer, your cheeses would already be starting to be very fermented, and also fresh cheeses that you could have had that you kept. But also all these heavy sweets, all of these breads, like the British Christmas puddings, things that they put on fire and doused in brandy to kill any germs. That's why things were salted, and that's why they were smoked as well, to keep away germs and bacteria, because it was real, real fear. I mean, food would kill you if you ate it and it was not refrigerated or kept well. So those traditional foods still exist. In the Southern Italian traditions, where my family comes from, it's warmer down there, and they do have a longer growing season. So they're more making lighter foods. Although Italians do have a thing where they have all these fishes that they eat the night before on Christmas Eve. And that's a tradition because you're supposed to fast the night before Christmas Eve. Somehow fasting became a gluttonous feast of fish. Don't ask me. I'm not quite sure exactly how that happened, but that is a lovely thing to do if that's something you enjoy with your family. We used to just eat pizza. That was our fast. So we didn't eat fish, but we had pizza. So that's a way to go. Also, the feasts I've had here, I've had potlucks, and people have brought beautiful things, or I've gone all out and really cooked. And I've been at houses where they're making meat in the kitchen, or making, you know, a spiced wines or spiced ciders in their kitchens, and baking apples, and, you know, just, you know, having a copious amounts of fruits and veg, and just deliciousness. Heavy foods, lots of heavy food. So any way you want to do that, or you can be austere. You don't have to do a feast if you don't want to. You can really stay in the idea of the fast the night before. And that is a true thing. People, I guess, did fast to prepare for the sunrise. So what if it didn't rise? Well, I better save what I have. So they did. There's that. The night before, you can do whatever you want. If you want to have your Yule ritual the night before, you can. This year, it happens to fall on a Tuesday, and I think it's a Saturday, a Friday night into a Saturday. So that's great. It's a great time if you have time off from work or school to celebrate. So that's that food idea. You can also have, I've had different things where all the women dressed in red or silver, and all the men dressed in green or gold or mixed of it. And we each represented the divine forces of the universe. We put together an altar where we would leave offerings and or gifts for each other, all decorated in green and red and silver and gold, and with pictures and of the gods and goddesses we were honoring, sun gods, the moon goddess, the goddess of the ocean, the womb that the sun rises from. It makes kind of sense, doesn't it, that the sun is born of the womb, out of the womb of the goddess, because she is the ocean, and if the sun rises above her, she's given birth to him. Same reason why God would impregnate her with his rays, the sun impregnating the water, who is the goddess, and then the sun rises from that. Everything in this is natural. Everything we do is based on nature, based on the truth of nature. If you strip away all of the things, if you go back and back, if you go beyond what we know is our mythology of present, back 2,000 years before Jesus, but back before that, back before the Romans, the Greeks, the Phoenicians, back before the Egyptians, all you have is what is here, which is the sun, the moon, the ocean, the earth itself. Earth, air, fire, water. That's all we have. It's a good time of year to do that. It's a good time of year to remember that we're actually praying in a pagan way to the sun himself, itself, and its sustenance of us on this earth. So that's that. That's Yule and summer solstice. Do what you like. Enjoy yourselves. Think of the colors. Think of the design. Think of the meaning. Go out into nature. I know it's cold. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. If it's not snowing or raining here, I'm going to the water and I'm going to watch that sunrise. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get me an Uber. I'm going over there because I should. And I want to talk about it when next month. So I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of other things. There's a project going on here in New York City called The Witches of New York. It's very interesting. There's a lovely photographer who's done beautiful photography. You can look for that online. They just had an opening in a gallery. There were many pictures of very well-known pagans, witches, in New York City. And almost all the people that they focused on were women. And they were, as I've said to a couple of people, most of them cis, white, European women. And New York City is quite diverse. So I didn't see a lot of representation of African Americans. I saw one person. I didn't see many others at all. I only really saw, I didn't see any gay men represented or any trans people represented. I didn't see any Latina or Latino people represented really deeply. So I was put off a little bit by it, and I did speak. I did reach out to the photographer, and I was like, you know, that's a little weird. There's actually some very large, very powerful gay covens in New York City, and there are trans covens, and I know that there are women and men of color all over the city celebrating the ancient gods and goddesses, and she should maybe think about reaching out to them. And she said to me she would. I also found that these people who were represented were really powerful people in the community. These are people that run public groups that teach people paganism, Wicca, witchcraft, and people who sell things. I found it was a lot of people who make money at this work. Not that I'm judging them, it's fine. I don't believe you should, but you know, I do expect to get paid for a candle I prepare for somebody or a spell I make, because I'm using not only my time, but I have to make it out of something, so you have to pay for that and for mailing. But these are people who make their entire living on publishing, and they make their entire living, and a good one too, on products and on selling lessons for paganism. That's a service. It's a good service, and a service meant in all these cases that we need. Some people on there did not. They're not people who earn a living at it, but a good proportion of them were. So that kind of put me off, because I know that I'm pretty sure that I'm talking to solitaries. I'm very sure, actually, from the mail I get, that I'm now a solitary Wicca person. I do have some friends I do work with, but I've become much more solitary as time has gone on, because for me, the connection to the god and goddess is very personal. And I don't know, within ritual, I certainly celebrate those Sabbats, and I certainly like to be around others when I do so, for sure. But when I do my personal work, I like to be alone, and I like to really commune with nature on my own, and I like to make my own spells, and I don't like to talk about them with the groups of people. I don't like... I've tried to be in many different covens. I just don't like the politics that go with that, and you know, having to sort of almost give up your will to a high priest or priestess. It almost always seems cult-like to some extent, at least the people I've met. I'm not saying that that's the truth everywhere, but in some cases it is. So I know, I'm pretty sure I'm listening to other, I'm speaking to other solitaries, and that's fine. There are books out there about being solitary. You can read one by Mr. Cunningham, Solitary Wicca. And also now I know there are many more books, but there's also this podcast, which is basically about being solitary. It's about what can I do, and how, if I want to invite people over, can I do that? And if not, can I surely You're going to celebrate by yourself. I'm laughing because I'm going to set up my own stuff the way I want to. My husband, he can participate in the decoration of things, but truly it's me and what calls to me that I do what I do here. He's not as pagan as I. He's more of an agnostic. He's not as religious. He's not as devoted. So I will make the decisions and I will secretly wear color and I will remember to, you know, look at, I have these tattoos on my body so I can remember the God and Goddess are with me and I can not say anything to anybody if I don't have to. I can celebrate my Sabbats also in more detail and more deeply on my own after or before I have people over. So think giving you guys ideas and letting you know that it's very possible to be and what people were for centuries, a witch alone. However, that said, some of the most powerful magic I have ever performed has been blessed by other people in covens, has been blessed by, you know, other hands and other minds and other energies put into my work. And I have had great support from some wonderful people. But as I said, at this point in my life, and that may change, I have chosen to be much more solitary as I think you might be. And if you're not, I get it too. I've been on both sides. So that's my little podcast. I try to do it every Sabbath. I might try to do it more. I don't always have a large subject to talk about. Or people to interview. Some of the people that I've interviewed or want to interview at this point are very busy. And I will try to get to them after Yule or maybe into February. There's Christopher Penzack on the list who has written many, many books and is a wonderful guy. And I love talking to him. And he's very much an herbalist as well. So we'll have a great time talking. And I'm going to reach out to many other people besides him. And I already have who I can speak to about their path and what they do and why they do it. And maybe I will even get this photographer on and see if she will speak to me about why she chose to do what she did, what kind of a project it was and why she did that project. All right, so that's me. I hope you all have a wonderful solstice, Yule, whatever you want to call it, season from the 21st until we meet again at Imolc, which would be on February 1. If you want to look back at other Yules on the podcast, they're here. And if there may be other ideas or other thoughts I express during those times, and if you want to prepare for a Sabbath ahead of the time that I get to it, you can go look it up there. So the wheel turns and the sun comes back very soon. Please do enjoy the darkness. Please remember it is always darkest before the dawn. Please know that the sun is going to return. We do know that it is going to return. And we will have warm weather soon. And we will have growing things. And we will be outside without our coats again. And life is beautiful and shined on by the beautiful sun that we circle. And he is our father and she is our mother. And we are here with each other as brothers and sisters. And so thank you very much for listening to me. May the God and Goddess provide everything for you that you could ever need. May you find joy and happiness in all that you do. May all that all your spells and divination work to the utmost. And may you be happy, healthy, and safe. Blessed be.